Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started.
Well, hello. We're happy to be here today, and I am particularly excited about this because we're going to talk about kind of a special event. The special event is that we're going to celebrate, you might say, Mark and Cindy's anniversary, not their wedding anniversary, but their anniversary of stepping away from Followers of Christ and stepping into a new life with Jesus. And so we have Mark's here, of course. This is where you say,
"Hey, Scott."
Yes. And Cindy's here, too.
Hey.
And she says, "Hey." Everyone says, "Hey." Okay. That's what I thought would happen. Okay. Well, we're going to just kind of talk through a little bit of what the 5 years have been like, what they're thankful for, what some of the hard things have been. And I think it's just important to say both of those things, really, so that people know what it's been like, what the struggles are, and what the joys are.
Yeah.
So I don't know who wants to go first. Let's just start on the positive note. What are some things that you're just thankful for in the last 5 years?
Well, first, I would say that I thought I would come today because I hear you guys have been being quite the nerds lately, in Scott's words.
What? Have I said that?
Defining some terms, I thought.
Well,
I
that is what nerds do. Yeah. And so, I see. I see. You really like Mark when he's a nerd. That's what you're doing here, isn't it?
It's attracted her.
The nerdiness of you is attracted her. That's what it is. She can't be away, not even for a few hours.
I think I came to maybe de-nerd it a little bit today. Is that it?
I would be thankful for that. It stresses me out to be considered a nerd. But
I'll try.
Okay. No. To de-nerdify.
That's probably not a word, but.
So if you were going to de-nerdify this podcast, what would you say?
Well, I'm going to start with saying things I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
I think the main one that stands out to me in the last 5 years is just getting to know who God really is, the real God of the Bible, not the scary, judgmental, ready to at any moment send me to hell if I was going to do something wrong, you know, to know the one who's the creator of me and Father, the one who came to die on a cross for me, for my sins, and forgave me. That is what I'm thankful for.
Oh, I'm thankful for that too. What does that mean to you, that you getting to know him?
Yeah, probably the main part is just feeling that being enough, being good enough, being knowing that I'm going to spend eternity with this God, this creator, this one who loves me and died for me, that is assurance that I am very thankful for. And never had before, so.
Well, I can see why you'd be thankful for that.
So for me, it was just kind of a new perspective. Like she talked about having this different idea of who God was, and I've talked about that on here before. For me, it was a different perspective on freedom was the one, like freedom before meant to me that I could do what I wanted because I was born in the right place, that I was kind of above the rules, and it was
okay.
But freedom now from the weight of sin and death and those things, and freedom from being a slave to sin, really, before. Freedom just takes on a different meaning to me now.
I mean, one of the things that you have talked about before as far as freedom goes is just the freedom of from maybe other people's expectations.
Yeah.
Too, so you're not always looking over your shoulder trying to please other people.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure of trying to please other people, and then we talked about that, doing all the right things, still knowing, like still having this feeling deep inside that it wasn't enough, but doing all the right things. And then I've talked about on here before, people who had done that their whole lives, tried to do all the right things, and then staying with them when they were sick and dying and hearing them say, I just don't know if I've done enough, was just like, freedom from that is something that I'm thankful for.
I can understand
that,
yeah.
And then I'm thankful for having peace with God. Like we talked about from Romans 5, that we have peace from God through, peace with God through Jesus Christ. So
that's kind of what Cindy said too, that you're not waiting for the other shoe to drop with God, that he has initiated peace with you.
Yeah.
Through Jesus Christ, which is, you know, when you think about God taking the initiative to make peace with us, what a gift. I mean, that just, you can't even, anybody who has experienced that would have to have that on their thankful list, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have the same background as you, but anybody really who gives that any thought just has to say, how can that be true? That is so great. So,
yeah,
thank you.
I would add to that freedom too. It's related to the people part of it, but not having to look like you've got it all together all the time for everybody else. It's freedom to just be vulnerable and tell people, you know, I'm not doing okay today, or, you know, and having that genuine unconditional love from people to just accept that and pray for you, or, you know, so that is a huge weight lifted, to not have to just be or look like it's all together all the time, you know.
Yeah. Well, this makes me happy for you. I'm glad I'm on the other side of the table here, so I can talk about these, because I can see why this is really, these are things to be thankful for sure.
Well, and that what Cindy just brought up ties into one of the other things that I thought of, and that is growing up being told that everybody outside of our church were fake Christians. I'm really thankful for the people that I have met, the people that God has put in our lives, as Cindy said, the genuine, unconditional love of the people, and just to see that everything I was told, I was afraid of that. I was afraid that that was true. Even leaving there, I was afraid that that was true. And so it was really, I'm really thankful to see people living their lives by faith as great examples, and they weren't just pulling the wool over my eyes for a month or so. I've seen them doing this for 5 years now, you know. So
I suppose that's worthy of a 5-year anniversary in a way, to say that it is kind of what it looks like.
Yeah,
I'll never forget when we walked into church, one of the first times, I think it was, we were scared, you know. It was all new. We didn't know. We'd been told all these.
You mean after leaving?
After leaving, yeah.
Yeah.
And people just walking up and being, like, genuinely happy to see us. They didn't even know us, but they were so excited we were there. And even stranger than that, probably not strange, it was strange to us, when they'd introduce themselves, we'd say, oh, we're Mark and Cindy. And one of them, actually, their eyes filled up with tears and said, oh, you're Mark and Cindy? We've been praying for you for so long. Mm. We had no idea. So it just,
Well, I have to admit that I did. I didn't even know who you were, but I was told about you, and so that's
thank you.
Encouraging for me, too.
Yeah.
I might have been that person. I don't know. Yeah. You probably had somebody different in mind, but that's okay.
There were several.
That's probably true. There were probably more than one.
Yeah, we had a lot of people praying for us, and that's one of the other things that I'm thankful for a new perspective on is prayer. Prayer was another thing that was just exhausting, and it was, I was afraid of it. It was, you had to do it right. It was back to the
performance
mm-hmm. and saying the right things. And it I almost just had it twisted around into like some kind of incantation that I had to do right in order to get God to respond.
Well, I don't think you were alone in that. I think that is a lot of people's, I don't know if it's their experience, mm-hmm. but it's kind of their expectation that if I get this right, then God will answer my prayer. If I don't get it right, well, then I'm out of luck.
Yeah.
You know, I think mine was worse than that. I was just praying, like you said, trying to get it just right for everybody in the room, for mm-hmm. everybody there. Yeah. I wasn't really honestly even thinking of God at the time. I just needed to get it right so that everybody in the room could hear that I got it right didn't look down on me. And maybe that's just how I felt, but that was my experience with prayer.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that was my experience with a lot of things, but it was the most important thing was to appear religious to people, to other people around, to appear that you were doing it all the right way. And going to a family Thanksgiving dinner, and nothing was more fearful than if I would be the one to be asked to bless the food for the day.
Well, that I understand, because I'm the pastor in the family, and I get asked every Thanksgiving. But, yeah. So I feel the pressure there, but. Right.
But you probably don't feel any fear of doing it wrong.
No, I don't feel like other people are, you know, they're just relieved that it's not them too, you know, so. Right.
Yeah, but hearing people pray now and getting to pray now, it's an amazing experience. It's totally different.
Yeah.
Having people pray right on the spot for you was something I had never even seen before.
It was kind of
like, how can I pray for you? And you say it and then they just pray for you, you know, not later. If mm-hmm. they think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that
was... That was wonderful.
Well, it was taught that was supposed to be a secret, private thing. You know, the scripture about praying in your closets, that was taken to be that you never pray publicly. I mean, people blessing their food or thanking God for their food in a restaurant we would just roll our eyes at that, just a bunch of phonies doing that so that we'll all see them doing it. You know, that it's...
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah, it's just really thankful for a new perspective on prayer.
Thankful for the people, too, that came alongside of us in that and would pray with us. And I was still afraid to pray out loud for quite a while after we left. And I started doing a Bible study with Scott's mom. And... Very thankful for her, and she just prayed with me every time and just encouraged me, and yeah, something I'm really thankful for.
Okay.
Another one is I'm thankful for a new perspective on baptism. Some of the things that we do in church, seeing people publicly profess their faith is... something that I'll never forget. I never saw a baptism for 45 years, okay. And then I've seen, I don't know, 100 in the last 5 years, probably. Yeah. It's something that I'm really thankful that I've gotten to experience that, and my own baptism, of course, but just the new perspective on baptism.
Well, my first, not... encounter, I suppose I could say encounter, right? that's such a loaded word, I suppose. But with people who had been part of the Followers Church, was at a baptism, and the consistent confession maybe that I had this perspective on baptism, or I thought this about that, and I'm thinking, who thinks these things?
Yeah,
but having learned now about sort of the history and all the things, I can understand why you would be thankful for a new perspective on baptism, not just that, but like you said, for enjoying it for what it is, as far as the public confession that Jesus is Lord. So
you probably already said it, but just hearing everybody's testimonies too, of what the Lord's done in their life, and everybody's story is a little different, but it all ends the same there. But
yeah. Then I mean, another one similar is communion, or we called it the Lord's Supper at Followers, but
we call it Lord's Supper sometimes too.
Yeah, but no, just in case someone at Followers didn't know what I was saying with communion is why I said that.
Oh,
but,
yeah, okay.
Because I wouldn't
I did not know
have known what that was at Followers, but.
But like that's a word that had I said we're going to do communion.
Yeah, I would have no idea. What
in the world are you going to do? Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
because I kind of you go back and forth, but
yeah,
interesting. Okay, yeah. I learned something new kind of every week.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, so just learning what that is and what it's not has been a blessing, and I'm thankful to be able to take part in that. Once a month is what we do.
Right. And
do you remember our first time? It was here at New Life.
Yeah, I remember your first time.
Even you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did not really take part in it because we were so nervous.
Mm-hmm, you were really nervous, I remember.
Well, I mean, I still thought there's scripture in Corinthians where Paul writes, where the impression that I was under was that if you do this wrong, you're bringing damnation on yourself. Like I thought by making the wrong move, I could condemn myself to hell.
Like if you fumble the bread or something?
What I thought it was I couldn't take part in that until I had been baptized. I thought you had to check all these boxes, and if you did something in the wrong order, then this scripture about eating damnation unto yourself could be that I could accidentally fall into that. And so
it's just the thing I think probably that you missed there is the hospitality of Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, one of the things to think about at the Lord's Supper is that the Lord is throwing the supper, and right. He's just inviting you to say, here, participate in this with me.
Yeah,
now you shouldn't participate in it if you're not with him. If you know, that's it. It that relationship is kind of important, but that's what it's for. It's just for him to show you hospitality, invite you in, and for you to say, yeah, I want to come in.
Yeah, yeah. And I still had all those kind of legalistic things in mind. Like if I'm not really welcome at his table until I've done X, Y, and Z, you know, I have to have been baptized. I have to have done all these things. And so I'm thankful to have a new perspective on that.
which is kind of interesting, because if you think about the table of the Lord, not communion table of the Lord, but just when he would eat, the biggest complaint about him was that he ate with tax collectors and sinners.
Right.
The people who didn't clean themselves up first.
Right.
And so what a, you know, I don't know, again, what hospitality for him to spend time with people like us.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And then I see it's not this far down the list. I actually had it higher on my list, but I skipped it somehow. But I may be most thankful for a new perspective on the Bible, on what the Bible actually is, to hear God's word preached, to be able to study it with other people, and to just have a different view on, like, that I wasn't looking for a secret code in this to try and figure out how to find salvation. It was to just learn that it was all telling one story, like from start to, it's telling one story, and it's telling about the love of God, and it's how he chose to reveal himself to us. So a different perspective on the Bible is probably one of the things I'm most thankful for.
Yeah. And not just, you know, picking pieces out to try and make a point or make yourself right in an argument or something.
Yeah.
And completely out of context, but reading it to actually get to know who the Lord is.
Which I mean, in some respect is. I do. That's a good way to read it. But I just, even as you say that, pulling verses out or phrases out to make a point, I don't think there are very many people who do that in the world. I think you either ignore it or you, I don't know. There are a lot of people who who don't get it, that it's telling the story, one story, the story of Jesus. And there's a few that are that dabble, you might say, but to use it in that way, it just struck me as kind of when you said it that way, it's kind of interesting way to think about the Bible.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of people who wouldn't respond to an argument from the Bible very well. So I don't think many people use it to make a point. But you were in a situation where people did, and I respect that a lot because I think that's that's a great place to start from, even if it's not the right place. It's a place that gives you something to talk about, gives you a place to go, which not everybody starts with that.
Yeah, and we've talked about it on here before that the reason that this new perspective on the Bible is that I'm so thankful for it is that we were told, you know, don't read the Old Testament. Or I shouldn't say we were, because I've talked to some people who say that wasn't the case in their house. But in my house, we just read the New Testament. Don't read the Old Testament, and you better stay out of Revelation. So we read just that middle part of the New Testament, and you're missing a lot. You're missing a lot if you don't read the whole thing. So it's, very thankful for that. And just there's freedom in that too, and not having to be afraid of the Bible. I think I grew up afraid of the Bible.
That's probably true. I mean, that probably is, some of it maybe because it was used in the ways you were talking about, but there is freedom.
Yeah.
I love the list. You guys are doing great.
Yeah.
I feel like we could just keep going and going and going.
Is there anything you don't appreciate? No, yeah. Just kidding.
What about the holidays? You can tell them about the holidays. Remember when we'd hear like Gary and Maria talking about things? They left about a year before us.
Yeah. They talk about all the different Christmas things they got to go to, or the Easter, where they got to do Good Friday. And it was like, well, A, I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah.
And B, when she was talking about it, it was like, oh, that sounds amazing. I want to do that.
Yeah. I was very jealous.
And then the Christmas Eve and the Christmas Day, all these things they got to do. And we were not doing that. And I was definitely jealous of all of that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people did, I will say, respond to Christmas things and to Good Friday things when they first came out because... Yeah. I didn't know why, right? Mm-hmm. So I like, I had been part of these things all my life, and it's not the kind of thing that you yawn through or sleep through, but there are some expectations that it's going to be like this, But it was such an encouragement to me to see some people who genuinely recognized this is important and this is great news, so it was really, that was good for me.
And just being so excited to be there, to get to do that was, still that way.
Yeah, it's something that I hope.
We'll have to have a holiday here pretty soon.
Yeah.
See what we can do about that.
Hope there's not a time where I take that for granted. Still we're 5 years and it still feels pretty new. I just hope that I'd never get to a point where I'm not excited to get to. I want to remember back to when I didn't get to do this.
Oh, and good. And you can enjoy things even if they're not new. That's the thing. I mean, it's like, oh, well, it's 5 years. I do think about this. You sometimes get like anniversary cards from couples or notice on Facebook and they'll say, to my wife, thank you for, 30 wonderful years. And I always wonder it's 30 wonderful years, but how long have you really been married? I mean, has it been 35 years? Has it been 40 years? And 30 of them were wonderful? I don't know.
Yeah.
But in some respect, maybe this is like that for you. I don't know. But
yeah.
I hope they're all wonderful.
Yes.
Holidays were always just about, material stuff. And
family.
Just basically family.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was really no focus on what they were about.
I remember a year where church was canceled because it fell on a Sunday.
Christmas. So
Christmas Day was canceled because it took away from your time with your family. Thursday night church was canceled because it was on Christmas Eve, and it took away from time that you spend with your family. And it's just one of the things that I couldn't. I mean, we went along with it, of course. What are you going to do? But I never could quite reconcile that, and it kind of pointed out a problem to me. Like what? Mm.
I think there are a lot. I mean, frankly, there are a lot of churches that are not like the one you came from that do that too. I have to say,
yeah.
And there is a fair amount of pressure to cave into that.
Mm.
So I just will say that, but
yeah.
But we didn't.
Yeah.
There you go. Happily.
What about, you want to talk about Johnny and Friends?
Well, that's, yeah, definitely something we're thankful for
yeah.
in the last 5 years. Yeah, so one of the things we have had the freedom to do is serve other people outside of, you know, a building of four walls of the same community. We have this freedom now to go out and serve. And one of those things that me and Mark have been involved with is Johnny and Friends, which is an organization that serves families affected by disability. So that was a whole new thing to us all the way around, but it has been a huge blessing.
Did you just, how did you get started? I mean, did you think about doing that just out of curiosity or what was it?
I just really felt the need, like I just wanted to serve somewhere. I knew I had a heart for people with disability. I mean, my mom tells a story of when I was in kindergarten, and we had quite a few little kids who were new from Vietnam that year. And so this little girl, her name was Tui, and she could not speak English at all. And she was little, and she was terrified every day. And just, and mom said she would, you know, find me over there, and I just became her her little friend that helped guide her around and everything. So, so not that anyone else wouldn't do that, but I just think that's always kind of been on my radar as people who didn't quite fit in or who were, yeah, feeling left out or something. So I was just looking, had lunch with a friend of ours who had left about the year before us and was telling her I'm just really feeling this need to serve somewhere. And she said, well, my husband did this camp last year. And the more she talked about it, it was like, yeah, yep, I want to do that.
Hmm.
So the way we serve is through their family retreats, because they're international. They do all kinds of stuff. But we serve at their family retreats where families with disabilities can come for the week and all the kids get a buddy. And it's just the parents get some rest and get to have some time to meet other parents and caregivers. And so... But we have been blessed by the people there, by the campers there, by the families.
It is very sweet. It is a very sweet
situation. Yes, you got to come see.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been something we've been really thankful for. I mean, there's all kinds of parts of camp that the worship time, watching the kids, and I mean, you can add whatever you want about that, but it's,
Well, I just want
whatever their abilities are.
Yeah, they worship however they can worship. And but I do want to just say that Cindy was really gracious to not mention that the first year she went without me. She just started saying that we serve this way. The first year, I did not have the same. I was too afraid to go. I was afraid of doing it wrong. I was afraid, and she went for the week without me, and I stayed home. And
it was right at our 1 year anniversary of being out too. Right, so I was going through a lot of kind of emotional stuff too, and. Man, that place will make you emotional too. It was it was a big week.
Yeah.
But Mark got a lot of phone calls of happy tears and just trying to explain to him what this is like. There's this.
Yeah.
There's
how cool is that?
Yeah,
that's so great.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And then this next one is probably best for you to talk about too, this reconnection.
Yeah, I mean, we've had... I mean, the main one I've talked about on here before is reconnecting with my dad after, was it 27 years at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were separated because of followers, because of him leaving there. And the reconnections that happen after we left there were pretty amazing. There's other friends and family also that we were reconnected with. But that one's really really sweet and really special. I'm very thankful for
and,
that.
And if you haven't listened to that episode, that's one that you need to go back and listen to in, in the podcast feed, because that is, that might be the most popular one.
Oh, it's really?
Everyone does really like that one. Yeah. So
I like it. Yeah, I didn't know what my dad would think. I told him I was doing it. I got his permission, you know, but he was very touched and very, very blessed by it too. So that was good.
So then we could go on and on probably with a list, but anniversaries can be hard too.
You really do need to acknowledge that, because it isn't just, there isn't just one size fits all. It's not all just one dimensional.
Right. So, still, it's hard to be separated from family for every year. Feels like it gets worse. Like people say time heals things. And I guess in a way that's partly true, but it also, it doesn't heal this. Time doesn't heal this. It's a, separation from kids and grandkids for 5 years is,
significant.
It's significant. It's
different than other things, because the grief of that is different, because it's not like they die and time does kind of heal that and you move on. They're not. They're alive and they're just not in our lives. So that's, I think that's why that just is every year. It's just another year that, they haven't been in our lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't really think of that as, I'm guessing, as an anniversary. You more think of that like day by day, don't you?
For sure. So,
which is a different, there are some things you probably think of annually or, whenever something comes up, but that's probably one you think about pretty much every day.
Yeah. It is daily. It's absolutely daily. But I would say for some reason, with me personally, every year at this time.
Oh, it is more.
Every year at this time is definitely worse. I go through, and sometimes I don't even realize why I'm struggling so bad. It's like your body just remembers those dates or something. It's like, oh, yep, it's been 3 years. Oh, yep, it's been 4 years. But so, there's
your initial, leaving was really hard with regard to your family.
Yeah.
And so that you would remember that more.
Well, and time doesn't stop. Their grandkids that were two are now going to be 8, 9. It's really hard to kind of wrap your mind around that kind of stuff too. So
But I would say that even in that, I'm thankful for it's like a new perspective again. I'm thankful for lament. We went through Lamentations at church. We went through Job at church. Hearing that preached, I've read the Psalms. I didn't know that you could complain about your situation to God. I thought you had to just I thought you had to just be content and be okay with it. And if you're not, pretend you are and try and go on. So reading those things in the Bible and reading about David crying out to God and voicing his displeasure with God, even at times, was really helpful for me to learn a biblical way to complain, I guess. I don't know if that's the right way to say it.
Well, let's say it this way. I mean, there are psalms of lament, but there are not psalms that say, buck up.
Right.
You don't have any buck up and do better psalms. You don't have anything like that. So anyway, processing the hard things is part of life. And I'm glad that the Bible's helped you do that.
Yeah.
Well, I think with that too, the grief that we feel now is also intertwined. And I think I've said this on the other episode too. It's intertwined with all this new joy and everything too. It's a really interesting combination, and this new hope. So you're grieving, but you're grieving with hope. It's totally different than just grieving.
Right.
We now know Jesus and what he can do. We've seen it firsthand what he can do, and he will save. And so there's hope. There's hope in that. grief. It doesn't mean that the tears aren't there and you're not grieving and sad, but there's hope with that.
Well, I think that, you know, for most people, and I'm regardless of your background, I think expect life to be like an on-off switch. You're either joyful or you're grieving and it's terrible. And the reality is that, and I think the earlier, I'm an old man now, but the earlier you can figure this out, the better off you'll be, is that, you know, life is always a mix. It's always a mix. And, you know, the in some respect, the deeper the grief, the sweeter the joy. And so there is a, just a really, it's challenging, no question. But I'm glad to hear you talk about both. And the fact that they are intermingled.
And we're not, I mean, we're still here. We're still in this broken world. There's going to be grief. There's going to be tears. There's, but that's not forever.
In the sales pitch, if there is one, right, about, you know, step away like Mark and Cindy did, sales pitch is not, and then you'll live happily ever after.
Exactly,
right.
I think that that's really important because, and that's not the sales pitch to trust in Jesus either.
Right.
Trust in Jesus and live happily ever after. I'm pretty sure that didn't happen for the disciples. You know, they may be living happily ever after now, but not.
But when you have this deep relationship now with Jesus, who's right there walking through it with you, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so it's it is really challenging. We're, Cindy and I are certainly not the only ones to experience this. It's been helpful for me to see others who have gone ahead of us and have kind of modeled this for us and have helped us to be able to see this when we didn't think we'd be able to, when we didn't think we'd be able to see this. Like, how could this ever be okay? And certainly the Bible and the Lord and prayer have helped, but watching others go through the same thing and model this joy along with the sorrow at the same time has been really helpful.
Well, and so that's just how loving God is. I mean, we left with, what, 100 plus people with open arms. Like, we know what you're going, come, we're here. You know?
Yeah.
I just, that's just so amazing that he does that and then puts all kinds of people in our life immediately to come alongside of us and point us to him really through it all. So
but I think it's important, like, we I don't want this to sound like we're just trying to feel sorry for ourselves or anything like this. We're very thankful. We would love some things to be better. We'd love to see reconciliation in families. We'd love to see people putting their trust in Jesus and not in any specific church or any other way of thinking, or in themselves,
or in their families,
or in their families.
Yeah, all those things are going to disappoint you. That's the thing. It, eventually, which is one of the reasons that this has been worth it, is because you've, in some respect, had to figure out what is going to, in the end, what is not going to disappoint me.
Right.
And you've come to the conclusion that it's Jesus.
Yeah.
Thankful for things that were brought to my attention, too. I started just writing a few things, found it pretty therapeutic. And one of the topics was idols, because that was so huge to me, that the things you can make into idols. And that's where I was. I realized I was, you know, my list of things was probably grandkids, number one, kids, number two, probably Mark, number three, sadly.
I made the list, at least.
At least you're
make the list.
Being totally honest, but, and then way down, I mean, maybe somewhere was Jesus or God or, what you know, my, whatever
church.
I thought that looked like.
Church was first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was really eye-opening to see I had made my family good things that are.
See, that's the thing. I think you have to. Have people need to know that
things that are good.
It's
you can
not
turn
just
them
some
so
gross
quick.
Trophy that's exactly. on a you know or a metal thing that's on a shelf. It's really
it's good and important good things,
right?
Yeah, and,
things that in their proper place are,
sure.
are great gifts and wonderful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just having that kind of perspective now of what where your priorities should be. So that's been really helpful, and I had people help me through that too. That who had were going through the same thing when we left. It was,
So I guess the important thing to me, like I said, is not to make this sound like we're complaining. We're very thankful. Every year it seems to get better and worse at the same time. Like it's there's parts get better, parts get worse, but as bad as the worst gets, it's worth it to follow Jesus. And that's what I want people to hear, because I know there are people just like we were for a while who are that are out there, don't really even necessarily want to be, but they're scared of what's outside. They're scared of losing family. And
of what's unknown.
What's unknown. Right. So, just want to encourage people to trust the Lord and follow him and that it will be worth it, because I haven't given up hope on family reconciliation or anything like that.
No,
it's not like
we,
you're trading one for the other.
We just trust that the Lord's got them. I mean, that's the best place for them is us praying for them and he knows what's going on.
If you saw them every day, you would say the same thing.
Exactly.
You should say the same
thing.
Anyway.
So.
So do you have a song that says or reminds you of that, I should say?
We do. You want to do it?
Yeah. So we sang one called "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." I'll try and do it without crying, because I think that was the only thing that made me cry last time was reading this song. So it says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord.'" Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me till the end. Darn it, I almost made
it. You were so close.
Darn it. Yeah.
Well, Cindy, thank you for coming to denerdify our podcast.
That I don't know if I did, but I tried.
That was a great last word there with the song. And the theme of it's good and it's hard is just one of the things that I remind myself of and try to remind other people of. And so when I was coaching, I would, because a girl goes up and strikes out and then it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. And then the sun comes up the next day, and so I started just telling him, and I'll tell listeners as we sign off here, just have a good bad day.
Yeah.
There you go.
Have a good bad day, because you're not going to get a good day, and I don't want you to just have a bad day. Just have a good bad day.
There you go.
That's good.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.